When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast. It is season 13. It is episode 45. And the feedback you can hear is Ian.
I'll turn the volume down.
He's gone. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that again.
Oh yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United. More than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Never said I was going to do my bit again.
Oh, come on, Lynn.
Podcast.
Season 13, episode 45, and we're back for an Easter special. With us is Canning Town. Len, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm on the sofa feeling lousy again.
Oh, sorry to hear that. And Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm in my shed.
Fucking knew it, I did. Shed man.
No John tonight. He's got guests as it's a bank holiday Easter weekend. But we've had someone step in to give a little bit of quality to this week's episode. Ian Dale, where are you? What are you doing?
What about quality, given the sound of my voice on this, because my external mic isn't working? I am in my sitting room in Tunbridge Wells talking to you.
Do you know what? I was in Tunbridge Wells last weekend.
I know, and you never even called.
I know. I was with the family. We were down in Hastings, and we stopped for Sunday lunch in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have lunch in Hastings.
No.
Why would you go to Tunbridge Wells, through Tunbridge Wells, to get to Hastings?
Well, do you know, so we went to Hastings, and we stayed overnight. It was a martial arts national testing, and they arranged for a Sunday lunch for us all as like a celebration in Tunbridge Wells, because Hastings is not that great.
It's been better, I'll give you that.
So it's a sort of on the way, but it's not. It's sort of on the way. It's a small detour. And my missus said, oh, it's quite nice round here. I thought Tunbridge Wells was a shithole. I said, oh, not really.
That's Tunbridge.
Yeah, because we're Royal Tunbridge Wells,
yeah.
Don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that a giveaway?
All right, yeah. She had just looked at Hastings for the weekend, so she got a sort of bad impression. Anyway, we're here to talk about football.
My mum went there on her honeymoon.
Really?
Yeah, when she married my dad, yeah.
Oh. Hastings. There you go. What a thing. Anyway, football. look, we... elephant in the room, right? It wasn't a happy weekend for most of us, but these things happen in football, and I think we're gonna. We only had one game, didn't we? It was an international break, so we only had the Newcastle game. Probably at the beginning of it, we didn't have a lot of expectations. I think I said I'd accept a draw when I did various sort of preview stuff. But typical West Ham, build us up, knock us down. We'll start with you, Canning Town, Lynn.
Go on, then.
Go on, then. Did you watch it first, or did you cough your way through?
Do you know
the game?
What, right? I said to me missus, I said, if I had the energy, I'd have done something in the garden rather than watched the game. And just watched the highlights. But unfortunately, I did watch it, yeah. I went down the pub to watch it.
Oh, you went down the pub?
Well, it was on... BT Sport, wasn't it? So
TNT, actually.
Yeah, you're right, it is TNT. Yeah, I watched it. I suppose you want to know what I thought of it, didn't you?
I do, yeah. bit boring if we lost, you know.
Other than the incredibly bad start, well, the first penalty, which was like 4 minutes, was it? Something like that?
Two.
Which was it that early?
Yeah.
That's hard to say now. There was so much VAR about it. I can't even remember when the match it was. But it just awful football all round. Just all the bad rules, everything. Just kind of, in the first couple of minutes, you just saw there happen in front of you. And then the rest of the game, just like I fought against Burnley, Sheffield United and Villa, which is the fucking dominant team. The completely dominant team. And we engineer a defeat out of it.
Yeah. Believe it or not, although I think Nigel's correct, it was 2 minutes. It was 6 minutes until the penalty was taken, so it was recorded at 6 minutes.
Really?
So I think it was right. It happened on the second minute.
I mean, it was barely.
It was 6 minutes until it was taken.
I mean, we were actually discussing if on WhatsApp if that... if we could do the decency of calling a pass. They were trying to judge if it was offside from the part. But of course, it goes back to the old Brian Clough thing. If he's not offside, what's he doing on the pitch kind of thing? Because he's in an offside position and he eventually picks up the ball. Generally, you'd say discount the penalty because it was offside. But it was such bad football, they couldn't decide that was a pass. Which would have been a stupid pass, and a pass in the wrong direction. Just awful. How this some of these rules are in the game now, they're just staggering. They just really are. But there you go, it happened. And after that, I just thought, like I said, as we've been looking the past 4 or 5 games, we just look like, going forward, we comfortably look like a
well,
top
they
four,
start. I mean, they had a number 16. Of. Injuries before they started, and obviously, and it got worse as the game go on. And I think you said on the WhatsApp group they were there for the taking. Obviously, Antonio with the equaliser that gave us a bit of belief on 21 minutes, and of course, just before half time, I think nine minutes into half time, it was 54. 54 minutes of the first half, then Kudus got a goal with a Bowen assist.
Well, Bowen got the one after half-time, didn't he?
He did, yeah, just after half-time with a Kudus assist. Pakatar gave the assist. We didn't mention this, but what a ball from Pakatar through to Antonio as well.
There's qualities oozing out that front four.
So you finish half time. You must be feeling a bit optimistic.
Because you can see, anyone knows anything about football, you can see we're the better team.
Yeah, we were.
Because and of course, they were causing complete nightmares.
Sometimes the game
should have been off. 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah. So we go perfect start after the break. As you say, Boeing on 48, kudos assist. We go 3-1 up. And we all must have secretly thinking, job done, innit? We just got to... We probably thought, oh, well, you know, will he defend now for the rest of the game?
Well, we didn't think it. We knew he would.
I'm not trying to remember what time it was when he took off. So where did it all go wrong? Before we move on to the others, where did it all go wrong? Are you going to say when Antonio got taken off and Phillips came on 69 by any chance?
That was a contributing factor that led to the what happened. But I think if you would have just carried on the way you're playing, if you wanted to change Antonio, maybe change him for Ings. But certainly not bring him on to you because they spent a bit more time in our box. And I think the penalty was fucking shameful, just a disgraceful decision. And then after that, it's just don't. We've seen enough of this trying to shut up shop. Don't fucking do it.
Yeah, pen on.
It's not paying off. It's not paying off.
Pen on 77, which obviously made it 3-2.
Yeah,
and then
we should
then Barnes with goals on 83 and 90.
This is a fucking shambles. Just a tactical fucking shambles to just carry on with a...
Are you blaming David Moyes or do you
think...
He's
got to take responsibility.
Yeah, he's agreed. Got to start but do you think the players and the match officials had something to do with it as well, Lee?
I'll tell you what, I'll be less vague. Any prick out there who's not fucking kicking a ball is a fucking problem. Whether he's in the dugout, whether he's in VAR, whether he's running the line... Whether he's a referee, they're fucking useless. All of them.
Okay.
Give me no VAR, refs and lines and making a decision. Just watch it the once. I think we'd be fucking fine. Enjoying ourselves a lot better. But it's just, look, everyone wants to put their stamp on the game. Just have people play football. We win.
Yeah. Well, let me just give a stat attack when we go over to Nigel. You know, as you said, Newcastle was there for the taking, but the stats say a different, slightly different view. Newcastle 60% with the ball, West Ham with 40. Newcastle with 24 shots, 9
yeah,
on target.
Yeah, but you can see how them shots happened, can't you? When you know,
West Ham 10 shots, 4 on target. West Ham with 4 corners, Newcastle with 3, 9 fouls for Newcastle, 8. For the Hammers, dirty Newcastle. Nigel, you did the miles. You made a rare away game this season. Was it a long journey? Stay the night before?
Nigel.
Is he falling asleep? He's muted himself, you see.
Yeah, sorry, I was coming back. I was coughing. My mates, I left my house at 9 o'clock. That morning.
Oh, you went up on that night? On the day?
Went up Friday. Good Friday, Good Friday went up. I got picked up. No, I got picked up about 8 o'clock. Yeah, I was picked up 8, 9 o'clock. Can't remember. But anyway, but we didn't get to Newcastle till 6:30. 6 o'clock. It was a long old day. The traffic.
Did you go on the bevies when you got there?
On 11. Yeah, we went out. Went down to Weatherspoons. I was staying on the Quayside Premier Inn, which is the building next door to the Tyne Bridge, right bang in the middle of the quay. And fantastic place, Newcastle, really is. I was up there with a group of friends, funny enough, that I know from Ian's website, West Ham Till I Die. We all went up.
Well,
there
name six
them. Of us that went up. Hey?
Name them then.
Well, my friends, Safe. I'll use their West Ham Till I Die names.
Okay, yeah,
Safe.
Fair enough.
In case BSB. They deny being friends.
Yeah.
What do you say safe? Are you talking safe fans?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
EB flew in. We picked him up. We picked him up at Stansted, CRB, and George.
Yeah. Ian won't know any of them, of course.
So, six of us went up there. It was basically it was because a friend of ours, Voice of Reason, died. Very suddenly, the day after we won the European Cup in the summer. And he's one of his very best friends. Tim is a Newcastle fan who I'd met before at games. And they'd come up with a little tribute to Roy, I should say. Is that there's a little trophy that's played for now every time between Newcastle and West Ham play. We've got the Voice of Reason trophy. And it was played for first at London Stadium, and because it was a draw, it was the away team that draws gets to hold the trophy. So all we needed was a draw to win the trophy back. We'll cover that later. But yeah, we went out, had a few beers. Long sweet was nice, and then nice walk around Newcastle, the river. I was up early out, 8 o'clock, walk around the river. That was nice, ready for the early walk up to the game, through the town centre. I mean, the walk probably took about 25, 30 minutes, and it was uphill, so it's probably roughly the same distance as the walk from Stratford Station to the stadium. But the difference is you're walking through a town centre. It's alive with people. Shops. Newcastle Town Centre's a lovely place. I've been there many a time before anyway. And it's such a different, fantastic experience to walk through that town.
Did you understand the natives? Why aye?
So we had an early beer in a bar next to the grounds, and had a quick chat with Tim, the Newcastle fan, and his daughter and his daughter's boyfriend, I think, and they weren't optimistic.
I went on a YouTube channel that Paul Turner put me on, and they weren't optimistic.
Well, I turned
either.
It down, Sean, but we knew you wouldn't.
Well, Paul agreed it to do it. He's away. Yeah, I didn't understand.
I turned it down.
I kept on having to say, "What'd you just say? What'd you say?"
But they weren't optimistic.
No, they weren't.
You know, it's Newcastle, St James's Park. I know a lot of people complain about where they stick the away fans, and it is a bit git of a climb. But it's a fantastic. You still get a great view from up there.
I saw a great
meme. You're still nearer the pitch than you are at London Stadium.
Did you see the meme of someone in a gym at a Stairmaster saying, I'm getting in the steps ready for Newcastle away.
Yeah. They do have a lift there, though.
Oh, do they? Did you get the lift?
They do have. No, I walked up. No.
Well done.
No, thank you very much. So.
The game.
I mean, I was quietly confident. I think I predicted a 2-1 win last week. Yeah, I thought Newcastle were there for the taking. Obviously, you fear the worst. 2 minutes in, penalty. I was tucked in close to the end of the West Ham fans, but at the edge of the stadium. So I couldn't see the big screen that they have glued to the glass wall, which afforded me a fantastic view from there of the whole of the city. I could see the roof of the hotel where I stayed, funny enough. So I don't know if they replayed it, if you could see it. It looks a penalty to me. And to be fair, I don't know what they were looking at. Obviously, subsequently, it seems they were looking for an offside.
They were looking for an offside.
I mean, I've only seen a replay of it without sound. He looks offside to me.
He was offside.
Yeah.
But at what point, though, does the offside come into play?
Well, I think the argument was he wasn't interfering with play.
No, but he did. Yeah, well, eventually. Anyway.
And this becomes subjective, and you're going,
yeah, well, of course well, it is. But most of football is subjective, so that is football. And a lot of the rules are refereed subjectively by referees, because that's why you get different decisions by different referees.
Yeah.
Interpretation of the laws. This is part of the problem, we could say, with modern day football. But then,
as Paddy Power said, is a goal against West Ham? Yes. Let's not give it thing, let's spice it up. I mean, it does feel like that a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, look. You know, I'm on record, and you know what I felt about VAR from day one.
Yeah.
So even if we were getting decisions, I wouldn't want it. The fact that we're not getting the decisions, and the fact that it just causes more and more arguments, and what it does is it has ruined the game as a spectator in the ground entity. And this is part of the big problem that football's got to grapple with. But that's. Yeah. A conversation for another time, right. Perhaps.
Let me just run you through the starting lineup: Areola in goal, Soufal, yeah. Mavropana, Zuma, yeah. Emerson, yeah. Ward-Prowse in place of Alvarez, forced yeah. obviously because Alvarez had five yellows. Suchek, yeah. Bowen, Pakatar, Kudos, who apparently had a knock, and Antonio. On paper, seemed the strongest team they could put in. Unless they put Phillips instead of Ward-Prowse. Did he pick the right team to start?
No, yeah, I know. He picked the right team. Definitely. Ward-Prowse is more forward-thinking than Phillips. So you want to see that.
Yeah.
You definitely want to see that. And, you know, obviously the only missing part there was Alvarez.
Yeah. And we do struggle. You know, we do struggle in midfield without Alvarez. We've seen that a few times.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You know, I don't know. Sometimes you take the bite out of people's games, and it can cause a problem. But you know,
now, if being an ex-goalkeeper, let me ask you the question. Areola yeah. obviously had some problem. I haven't actually caught up with what his problem is, but he couldn't kick the ball. Right. And
groin.
Is it groin?
Apparently.
So why wasn't he taken? They left him to half time till they took him off. Was that a mistake? I mean, with hindsight, he didn't let one in, but if he couldn't kick the ball, does that. And he's got a groin strain?
No, because, and especially with, I don't know, but at the end of the day, when you're playing the ball out from the back, it becomes a problem if he had to come and clear the ball out of his area. That's when it becomes a problem. Because if he's got a groin problem, he ain't going to be able to run as fast. So if there's a 50-50 ball outside the area, he's got to be chased down. A lot of keepers can throw the ball past the halfway line now. So or they'll try and throw the ball out or short pass it, which shouldn't do too much damage. I mean, the only reason I knew Fabianski was warming up was because I'd see it on a WhatsApp. From you lot.
Yeah.
You know, in the game, I didn't notice he'd pulled up or anything. And he was, we were defending the goal in the first half in front of us. So Areola was in front of us.
Yeah. So,
I mean, as first halves go, I thought it was a pretty damn fine performance from West Ham. And, not 2-1 up as I suppose 2-0 would have been better, but to go 1-0 down in St James's Park and to go in half time 2-1 up, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
they do look like, I mean, they were on self destruct. I mean, I forget how many substitutions they had, but they seem to be losing. I mean, they already had a number of injuries and then they lost. A couple in, was it in the first half or early in the second half? No, it was in the first half they lost one and they lost another two, I think, in the second half.
Yeah. But the funny thing about the stats is, Sean, is that Newcastle...
Lascelles being their biggest, you know, they've only got one fit.
Yeah, they're big loss. Their players were dropping.
Back.
And there's two things that change the game. Obviously, we go up 3-1 up. So there is I do have this get worried. Sometimes you think, it's a bit early, isn't it? You know, there's still, you know, well, there's still 42 minutes, we thought. left in the game, but obviously it was 52 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, possibly one of the longest league games of football played. I think it was 110 minutes overall. Maybe more. So there was always a chance Newcastle got back. If you look at the stats, Sean, first half, second half, Newcastle had exactly the same amount of shots in the first half as they did in the second half. You know, they go 3-1 down.
Right.
They need to make changes. Eddie Howe did, I think, a triple substitution.
He did.
So he did a triple substitution, bringing, I know he brought on Almiri and a couple of others. And they created chances that they were, you know, half decent ones, that they were putting wide. Like, they didn't have their shooting boots.
Amaron, Hall and Anderson, he brought on 57.
Yeah. So
after bringing Kraft on for LaSalle on 17, who also got injured, and Barnes on 67.
So, well, there's the big change. And this is the strange thing about
because they had made three substitutions, even though they had a fifth substitution, as you're probably aware of the rules, you're only allowed to make three. When one of their players went down with a hamstring, he had to carry on. Was it Schlar? I can't remember. It was one of them that was suffering from a hamstring at the end.
And this is the thing, around the 67th minute, the game spins. And how it spins, it's a bit freakish, really. Moyes, I suppose Newcastle were back in the game, I suppose. They're still 3-1 down. But they're dominating the play. But that does happen away from home. A lot of teams get dominated away from home. I don't have a problem with defending deep away from home, especially when you're 3-1 up. And Newcastle scored the fourth or fifth highest amount of goals in the Premier League this season. They've scored like over 60-odd goals. So, you know, they are a potent force going forward. As much as we are, if not more. But the funny thing about it is their fans were flat, you know.
They weren't flat at the end, though. They went absolutely mental. Different.
Yeah, well, so, yeah.
I bet it was not a great place to be when
West Ham fans were taunting them, you know, singing "Sit down if you're 3-1 down."
Yeah, oh,
you know? Yeah.
Were they singing 3-1 and you fucked it up by any chance at the end?
Well, they did. Yeah, and sit down, you know, stand up, you know, whatever, your 4-3 up. So there was a bit of turn and throwing, but anyway, but this is where, in a way. I don't know if he was blowing out of his arse or not, Antonio. Antonio was still a great outball for us if we had a problem.
That's what Moyes said. Moyes said that he was worried about Antonio. So he substituted him and he thought we needed a little bit more.
But that ain't a substitution that changes the game for me. The substitution that changes the game is Almirion pulling up, and he brings Harvey Barnes on. Because this is the funny thing is, because if Almirion's only just come on, if he don't pull up, Barnes don't come on.
And Barnes comes on and wins the game.
And Barnes comes on. But the penalty is a bit of a farce because it's up the other end to us. So we just see Gordon go down. The referee plays, the game played on for about a minute, I think, before it goes out for a goal kick. And then everybody lines up as if it's going to be a goal kick and nothing happens. And then you realise, oh, here we go, VAR again. And then they give the penalty. And obviously, it's not until after the game, once we've lost, you see the penalty again.
What's your view
on that? Yeah, I've seen it. What's my view on that? Same players, same challenge, change the penalty boxes. Imagine Phillips is about to shoot for goal.
Yeah, but Phillips got fouled first, didn't he not?
No. So this is the thing. Swap. Take the same two players, move them up the other end to our penalty box. Phillips is about to shoot.
It's a penalty to us.
Well, it's a foul on Phillips, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why ain't it a foul on Phillips in their penalty area?
Yeah,
right. Only they could tell you.
And this is the thing. And this is another thing. They make these decisions and they know how contentious it is. No, I'll tell you what really pissed me off as well, which really shouldn't have done, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Even Match of the Day didn't fucking cover it.
I know. Who was it who had a go at Match of the Day? Who's the guy?
Jeff Stelling.
Jeff Stelling had a go at Alan Shearer and said, "Why didn't you?"
Well, no, because Shearer weren't on. It was the D team. It was.
But Shearer answered it, didn't he?
Well, Shearer was going to call it a penalty.
He was going to go, it's a penalty.
Yeah. No one. There's so many people queuing up. Jesus Christ! Even Keith Hackett says it weren't a penalty.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just crazy. What was the atmosphere? I mean, it must have been. It must have not been a great experience to be at that last 10 minutes, and you're just thinking,
it was just out of disbelief, shell shocked. Yeah. You know, of course. There's a lot of Geordies, isn't there? You know, there's 49,000 of them.
They're giving it large, yeah?
They're giving it, and you just got to take it on the chin. You know, what are you going to do, you know? Well, you know, I'm walking along and they're singing Stick Your Fucking Bubbles Up Your Arse. I just laughed. You know, so...
Don't laugh until you tried it.
Well, I'll have to bow down to your experience there, Sean. it's just... I don't know. And then, more at the end of the day, if Moyes, for me, so much, bringing on Phillips, it's the move to put Pakatar up front.
Yeah.
Pakatar has got good ball control, but he's not going to hold the ball up against the centre-half and wait for others to come and join him.
Yeah,
we lost our out ball, and to lose your out ball, as it turned out, for nearly 30 minutes, you know, that's...
Well, he needs to find a way to do that and not keep trying the same thing that doesn't work.
Well, put Caduce up front then. Put centralised Caduce, because he'll hold the ball up in the same way as Antonio. It's a build, but I tweeted that. For me, the big thing here, what it highlights is... We've got 34-year-old Antonio and no backup to it. No serious backup to it. And that is on Moyes and those that buy players, because we know how old he is. He's been at the club 9-10 years. We know for the past 3 years.
Well, that should have been Ings, shouldn't it? That should be Ings.
Well, yeah, but Ings is a different type of player. But yeah, actually, when you look at the bench, Ings or Mbama, I'm not sure you'd put Mbama.
No, you don't
put, to do that you role. Could, but that should be Danny Ings. Yeah,
it wouldn't be out the realms of possibility, considering what we've seen of Ings lately. To, like you say, move Kudos up top then, and move Ings behind Kudos.
Yeah,
doesn't try anything.
Ian's been patiently waiting.
He has. You've been ever so patient, Ian.
It's unlike me.
I know, right? So, Ian, and then he's going to go, I didn't watch the game. I was doing another podcast.
No, I did watch it. I was really looking forward to watching it. And I thought that I predicted a win as well. And at half time, you would have bet a lot of money on us winning. And particularly when we went 3-1 up. But they say 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline. Well, so is 3-1, isn't it? And this has happened before. Do you remember that game at Upton Park when we played Wimbledon, when we were 3-0 up at half-time and lost 4-3? It was a bit... reminded me of that in a way. Look, we played quite well. I mean, yes, Newcastle had the better of the second half, I suppose. But had Harvey Barnes. I mean... He nearly joined us in the summer, didn't he? It was almost inevitable that he was going to play some sort of role to sort of do something bad to us. And his second goal, I mean, it was just a great goal. There's nothing that anyone could have done about that, I don't think. Sometimes you just have to accept that no one made a mistake. It was just a cracking goal. And I thought quite a few of our players played really well. I thought Mavropanos had one of his best games for us. Even though, I mean, we conceded 4 goals. But I thought he was superb.
One of the best players on the pitch.
I was trying to think, did anyone have a really bad game? I mean, Soufal face of it, you could say, well, he gave away a penalty and one or two other dodgy moments. But, I mean, he didn't have a bad game.
We'll come on to this in a while, but obviously the fans took it out on Phillips and blamed Phillips for it, which I think is a bit unfair.
It's an easy thing to do, given that, I mean, he's been an absolute disaster of a signing so far. No, even he couldn't argue differently to that. But what do they, if they constantly have a go at him, and I didn't hear anything from the crowd, but obviously the scenes afterwards weren't particularly edifying. But if you constantly have a go at a player, they're not going to get better because of that. It's not going to motivate them. And all he needs to do is have one good game, and hopefully he'll be the player that we all know he can be, because he is a cracking player. And I don't understand what's happened to him since he's joined us. So it does seem to happen quite often to players who join West Ham, it has to be said. But he can't be blamed for giving away that penalty.
No.
He really can't. And there were a couple of good challenges that he put in, which nobody will now remember. But I didn't think overall he was particularly bad. But that substitution did change things, as you've already said.
Yeah.
Antonio was having a good game. And if he was taken off because he was knackered, well, fair enough. You can't really argue against that. But to replace him with somebody who, well, you'd have to change a winning formation. I mean, I don't understand the logic of that, but then I'm not a football manager. Mm.
The game overshadowed a fantastic result for Bowen, or you know, he scored his 16th goal, which puts him level with John Hartson in the Premier League goals, that is. So he scored his 16th Premier League goal of the season. He's just one off Paolo Di Canio with 17, I believe, if I remember it rightly. And he scored 19 goals all season, just one away in all competitions this season. You know, he's really...
Can I just say something about that goal? Because I think as West Ham fans, we've got used over the years to whoever the striker is or whoever goes through one-on-one, you're never confident they're going to score. Now, I don't know about you three, but whenever we go one-on-one now, I'm actually quite confident we will score, particularly when it's Bowen. And you look at the way he took that. That was not an easy shot for him.
Good take.
And he placed it, yeah, absolutely. And I've never really thought of him as an out-and-out striker, but boy, is he proving that he's got the nose for a goal.
And obviously, Kudos' goal overshadowed by the result as well, because Kudos, again, another great goal, assist from Bowen. I thought it was amusing, and you wouldn't have seen this, Nigel, where he went to take the chair of the ball boy. He weren't having any of it. The ball boy just looked at him and went, nah, mate.
I'll just point out, Sean, that was Bowen's 15th Premier League.
Was it the 15th? Sorry.
Yeah.
I know you would. Thank you. Thank God you're here.
I thought it was 15, but you sounded so certain. Yeah. I thought,
from memory. So 15th, and it'll be 16th that then he'll be level with Paolo Di Canio. Is that right?
Well, he's got to be aiming for 20, hasn't he?
20 in all competitions, definitely. I mean, I don't know if he can get 20 in the league. Who knows?
I don't see why not. Five. There's still, 8 games to go.
Who was the last West Ham player, Nigel, to get 20 in all competitions, and then who was the last West Ham player to get 20 in the league?
20 in all comps. Do you know what? Arnautovic got close. I don't know if he got 20. Obviously, John Hartson, 97,
top league only, Sean.
Top league only, yeah. I'm trying to think. Did Arnautovic get 20? I know he got 12 or 13 in the league one season. I'd go with John Hartson, last person to get 20.
And the last one to get comps. 20 in the Premier League? Well, there hasn't been. There can't be.
I don't think there has been in the
Premier League.
No,
because if they're saying
no West Ham player.
Antonio holds the record with 16, there can't have been. Yes. Wow.
No, there hasn't. No West Ham player has ever scored 20 Premier League goals.
There you go.
Last top flight player to get 20 league goals would be Tony Cotty,
was
I believe.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just on Bowen, if he continues as he is, goes to the World Cup, has a reasonable World Cup, he's going to go in the summer, isn't he?
He could do. And this is a problem, you know, with those three.
How much for? Because we paid, what, 20-odd million for him. I read something in one of the papers the other day. They say, oh, he'd be another 100 million West Ham player. He's never struck me as a 100 million pound player, but I mean, his record speaks for itself.
Well, I think you've got to value each of the three, those three attacking players, 80 million plus each. You know, Kudos, yeah. Pakatar, and Bowen are worth 80 apiece of anyone's money. I wouldn't let them go for anything under 80 each.
The thing is, Bowen you could probably replace with a similar style of player. Kudos and Pakatar, you couldn't. Simple as that.
Yeah.
There is no one around that could, particularly Kudos, who can do what he can do. And you look at Pakatar, the amount of times he's involved, not necessarily with an assist, but involved in a West Ham goal, again, irreplaceable.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to be sniffing around those three players this summer.
I'll just clear a few things up, Sean. And Antonio's never scored more than 10 in a Premier League. So
okay, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so Di Canio's got 16 in one season. I can't think of anyone that would get close to that.
Well, that it was John Artson got 15.
Dean Ashton would have done.
We obviously didn't get 15, because otherwise it would have been on the stat that they put on Sky Sports.
I think Marlon Aylward got 16, but not
in the Premier League.
With cup goals included.
Yeah, goals, yeah.
I think anyone's come close to 20.
It's got to be Bowen for the Hammer of the Year. I mean, I'm sure Pakatar.
I'm not so sure. I mean,
Kudos is in with a shout, and Areola in for a shout, but it will go to Bowen, won't it?
No, I think Packers. There's quite a few up for Hammer of the Year.
There is. It's going to be a tight one. I have to do one of my famous polls in a little while.
Yeah, everyone would love that.
Love a poll.
By the time it comes down to it, though, by the time the end of the season comes, and the realization of Packers going, that might sway it. You know, the voting, not the. It shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I think you've got to think of Alvarez. He's a stunning player, I think. Like you say, Areola's had a fantastic season.
So,
as a four-pronged attack, which is fucking brilliant, I think really are good.
Just going back to Ian, what was your mood like after the game? Because obviously on our WhatsApp group, there's a few people who said weekend ruined, which I never quite get. Were you a grumpy old sod?
I was, if I'm honest, for a bit, because I just thought, I mean, I was looking at the league table, I thought, right, 47 points, Manchester United don't beat Brentford, we've got a chance to surpass them in the next couple of weeks. But now you look at the table again, and we could be, well, obviously not in trouble, but we could be down to 10th if we're not careful very, very soon. We need to get results from the next two games, because if you look at our run-in, I mean, some pretty tasty games in that run-in.
Spurs. I don't know about Liverpool, but we certainly can take Spurs. They have some few wobbles, and especially at home.
It's the Fulham and Wolves games that we absolutely need to get points out of.
You're right.
I mean, six points.
Are you back at LBC tomorrow, or are you coming to the game tomorrow night?
Sadly, I have to work tomorrow because they will never let me have the odd day off. You have to have the whole week off. They don't mind if you have the whole week off, but they don't like the odd day. So,
will you be sneakily watching it while you're recording?
Of course not, Sean. Professionalism at all times.
Of course not.
Now Moyes is in charge. There's not much to sneakily look at now, is there?
Well, that is true. I do remember I had Dave Ward, the lead of the communications workers union, on for an hour once, and I think it was a European game, and so I did have it sneakily on my laptop, which he then saw. Luckily, he didn't say anything on air because I think I might get into trouble. But I always say it's not only women that can multitask.
Yeah. How about, so that means the quarter final? You can't get the time off for the quarter final?
No. Oh. I mean, last year I said that I wanted time off for the semi-final. No, I did go because I went to Genk the previous time. So that was one day I did have off. But last year, I don't think I saw any of the European matches. But this year, I went to Dublin last weekend, had the most amazing weekend. So I'm really hoping we get to the final. I can somehow blag a ticket to go to that, but not counting my chickens.
West Ham-Liverpool final. After we beat Leverkusen, and then we go on to Roma, right? We beat Roma away, and then we're in a final with Liverpool and lose on penalties to Liverpool. There you go.
There's a lot of ifs there.
Blimey. What's the point of dreaming that far and losing in the final, Sean?
Yeah, I know. Another final defeat to Liverpool. Fantastic. Yeah,
go on.
In regard the Phillips finger, shall we call it, where do you stand on that then?
Are you asking Ian?
He was severely provoked. He shouldn't have done it. But
think he was.
Come on.
If you look back on it.
Our friends at West Ham Network. Useless. Was it someone at West Ham Network? Or was it people asking? It didn't sound like a Cockney accent. It didn't sound like a Geordie accent. So when someone says to him, useless, you're fucking useless. Why would you've been around these, right? You have to wait ages for them to come out. You wait.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Half an hour, maybe 45 minutes to come out, just to tell someone they're useless.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean,
I don't like it and I don't get it.
If you'd have videoed that, would you have put it live? Would you have published it?
Yeah, but I wouldn't video?
Video
it, would I, Sean?
No, all right. If someone gave you that
video. I'll take
video,
it. Was it. I forgot. His name's gone up my head.
Calvin Phillips.
Anton.
Oh.
Anton, thank you. Was it. I forgot your name now. Nigel. Thank you, Nigel. Was it. Did Anton video it? Because I saw the explanation this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The other day, like, but he says that it was barely provocation at all.
Well, I've seen the video. I've heard the shouts. I mean, they were pretty clear. And so
yeah,
that's
but
what
we've seen you lose
you
your rag at the seaside, Ian.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. we've seen you lose your rag every single bloody week, Lee.
In fact, just to correct the record. Just to correct the record, Leonard, I didn't lose my rag. In fact, I was calm at all times.
Oh, right.
Just wobbling on the pier.
The impact of his punch, which didn't land, made us sort of fall over.
Fair enough.
But someone's edited it to make it look a lot worse than it was.
But to call him to stand there, to queue up, to wait all that thing, just to shout.
It's a stupid thing to do, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. And the people going around, he's giving his finger to the fans. No, he's giving it to that bloke, directly to that bloke. That ain't a finger to the fans. That's to that bloke who frankly, but needs, you know, to what? Have a look at himself. Where, I think.
Look, I know football players just get just as pissed off as us. So, as Ian was just saying, sure, right? He was really pissed off. No, they do. They want to win, right?
Qatar looked pissed off, swapping his shirt with Gamirez.
They're pissed off. Well, they were having a bit of a tussle for the whole game. They were pissed off. After. And when someone says that to you, when you're really pissed off you've lost the game, you sure, can just
say
snap.
Much fucking worse to you every time I fucking see
you. I know that, but I'm thick-skinned, but I don't think Calvin Phillips is.
Look, I told you, they're self-centred wankers, they're all the footballers.
No, what they are is human beings, just like anybody else, and they will have the same emotional reaction. If someone did that to you, you think you wouldn't give them the finger? Of course you would.
Yeah.
They might have a fucking good point.
What I don't understand.
Fucking useless.
What I don't understand is why people are saying we should send him back, he should never wear a shirt again, and just overreacted. It was a snap reaction. Let his talking be on the pitch. Let him prove him everybody wrong. That. If he wants to prove himself,
first, doesn't he?
Sorry?
If he's going to do the talking on the pitch, he needs to learn how to open his gob and actually play properly.
Yeah.
For all we know, that might happen every week at going on the coach or this, that and the other, but it was caught on camera after a bad result. I don't think it's that bad what he fucking did. I don't really care, is the honest answer.
But yeah, you do the verbal equivalent to me every single week on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'll
go out and face the geezer and call him a cunt if he'd said it to me at a football match. I just think he's a bit of a fucking prick for retaliating, to be honest with you, in that way. He's hardly fucking brave, isn't it? Don't wait to get behind a fucking glass into a coach with your mates and give someone the fucking.
But hang on
bird.
A minute, you're the person then.
Back out of fucking coach in front of him then.
Exactly. If someone presses your buttons though, you're the one to react then. So you must understand how other people react.
The player Leo Boat was there ushering him onto the coach. Yeah?
I won't give a fucking shit.
That's what I'm saying. They were being ushered onto the coach and the bloke was standing there next to Phillips and he got on the coach behind Phillips. There was no way Phillips is getting up the coach. Phillips, should he done it? No, because realistically, you got to take it on the chin and walk off. Am I bothered? Am I disgusted? No, I'm not.
Yeah? No, I'm not.
Should
either.
He have done it? No, he shouldn't have done it. It's just silly. But do I think he should be hanging out the dryer because of it? Or should, you know, of course not. You know, the thing is, I use the film time and time again. I tweet it out and everything. And it's by the Arsenal player, Elneny, who used to get a lot of stick off of Arsenal fans. And he says to you, I don't need you. I don't need fans' help when I'm playing well. I need your help when I'm not playing well. I need you to believe in me and support me.
Yeah, quite.
And this is what it boils down to. They pull the shirt on and whatever. If he ain't good enough, we can sit around. We can all discuss it. But to stand there and how does that, is that going to make him feel better?
Well, great link for what David Moyes says today in his pre-match press conference. Calvin is a human being. And what he needs most is support and assistance, which is what we will provide at the club. We urge our fans to offer all of our players the support they need. Calvin is a talented player, and I remain hopeful that he can still make something positive out of the time he has here.
We all fucking do, but, you know, he's the one that puts the players on the pitch. Was it this support with the fucking Flynn Downs, by the way?
What about? When did Flynn Downs get...
I'm not even worrying about the abuse he got. Well, let me give something, tell you something, what I think about Calvin Phillips. We've only ever seen this geezer in flow state, playing at Elland Road, his own team, at his own place, with a manager that's right behind him in a relegation battle. We've seen him go England at Wembley with Declan Rice next to him. Totally, everyone can look good in that situation. Now he's under pressure and he's getting judged. Now, we had a player in flow state with Flynn Downs. He's playing at his own place. If you're a bit more patient with him rather than fucking chasing rainbows, then he might have done a bit of a better job. So that's what, when I say, did he give Flynn Downes his support? You showed someone the door who's a West Ham fan who would be playing under Flow State. And that's all we've ever seen of Phillips.
Yeah.
But when we when we have someone like that, we show them the door.
Yeah. On not the bus coming back, those. I was talking and I said, the thing about Phillips is, when you look at it and bear it down, he had one season at Leeds in the Premier League where he looks really good, but in a team, and they did okay. And then he got his move to Man City and we ain't seen him.
No.
So actually, when you look at it, and he got into the England team, he won England Player of the Year, voted for by the fans. So he's obviously a good player, but that was off the back of one season. It seems like, when you look at it, his name in football is actually built off of, yes, he played really well in the Championship under Bielsa, and he played really well in the Premier League under Bielsa. Not playing for Bielsa, he hasn't done really that great. And he plays in a very good England team as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, but he's often been the best player in that England team. I mean, he's got 31 caps. I don't remember a bad game he's ever had for England.
No.
And the fact is, he joined us a year too late. If he had joined us and played alongside Declan last season, we would be seeing a very different Calvin Phillips now.
Yeah, next to Declan, you would definitely.
Leeds have offered him a lifeline, saying they will make a bid for him in the summer.
He should take it. He should do all he can to make sure that happens and then realise what playing football's about.
Anywho.
He should be another noble type player. There's no point comparing him to Declan Rice. It's afraid he's not.
Ian, you know where I stand on David Moyes. I think you know where Nigel stands. You'd certainly know where John and Len stand. Where do you stand on David Moyes?
It depends on the day of the week.
Well, let's say today.
But it depends when if we're playing that day or not.
Yeah, look, I find this a really difficult one because you've given all the stats about his win ratio and all the rest of it. He is our most successful manager in those terms. You look at the number of goals we score. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of February, match per match, I mean, we're scoring 4, 3, 2, 3, 4.
Goals are fun. I mean,
exactly. Unfortunately, VAR specialises in ruling out goals. And I don't want to go back to VAR. But we have been incredibly unlucky in at least 4 or 5 games this year, not just this season, this year, where we should have got more points out of these games. Now, David Moyes is perfectly right to point out that he's reached 3 quarterfinals now in Europe. It looks as if we ought to qualify a game if everything goes to plan. How can you get rid of a manager who's got that record? I mean, are people in other clubs think we're fucking mad?
I know. I know they
now,
do.
But they're from other clubs. Don't give a fuck about them.
Well, but logic would mean that a manager with that kind of record ought not to be under threat. But we don't like him because of his manner more than anything. You look at his attitude to sort of being questioned in press conferences, and they're the most asinine questions that he gets put to him.
What do you mean we don't like him? Talk for yourself, Ian.
No, I'm
the Moyes Inc.
Talking about the majority. Yeah, but you're a fucking idiot. You don't count.
Yeah, but you were also Moyes out at one point.
At one point, yeah. I've decided to stop becoming a flip flop or a gender fluid. I am now firmly Moyes.
I never wanted Moyes in the first place the first time around, and I can remember having an exchange with David Sullivan on email, and Sullivan was saying, "Well, we quite like David Moyes, but he wants 5 million." And I said, for God's sake, don't have David Moyes. We'd be bored every week. Now, I don't find the matches generally boring, certainly not on the Allardyce scale of things. But there are times when he just frustrates the hell out of you. But then again, so do most managers. There isn't a manager that's ever existed that's got everything right or made what we think ought to be the right decisions. So it's a bit like change of ownership. Be careful what you wish for, because there's no guarantee that whoever came in after him would be
crossed the line there, Ian.
I did that to you. Fucking be careful.
What else can you do as a fan? I'm fucking not going to be careful what I wish for. Fuck me.
We know your views. Have you changed your view at all, Nigel?
No, look, my view is if he if he goes, he goes. If he stays, he stays. There's part of me that thinks actually, this club has never dismissed a manager ever that's finished in the top 10 or has got the record on David Moyes.
He could still qualify for Europe for a fourth year quite easily.
And this is the thing is, you can't dress easily. Was easily. I entertained Saturday? Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Are you not entertained?
Yeah. Was I entertained? Yeah, it was. You know, for all but 15 minutes of that game, West Ham were fantastic, I thought.
In the end, that he has to be given till the end of the season. And now there is a possibility that he may decide his time is up and he might go of his own volition. I would not shed tears over that. I would be very concerned about who might follow him, I have to say.
I'd agree. I'd be worried about who follows him because.
Oh, you're entitled to be fucking worried. What choice they make? Absolutely right. Yeah. But no, and why that's should part you? Of the problem. We've had Allardyce and we've had fucking Moyes.
Are you not entertained? Oh, here we go.
The thing I see is
if there's truth in this, Sullivan wants to take a step back and downgrade his shareholding percentage wise or whatever. I don't think any billionaire in their right mind is going to want to buy West Ham United with him sitting there still. Billionaires want full control.
Might have, as I said on the previous thing, we might get a sort of Jim Radcliffe kind of situation. Anyway, let's move on.
But I think this is linked to David Moyes because at the end of the day, I think if we get new people in, if it happens,
What happened in Europe, and let's see what happens.
If new people come in, I think Moyes goes no matter what happens, Sean.
Yeah, I think you might be right, but let's see what happens at the end of the season.
What? So we can't discuss it.
I'm just conscious of we're going to move on to the question time in the next episode, and we can probably discuss it in the next episode. But we've got plenty more episodes before the end of the season. I don't know if you see, but Jesse Lingard is having an hard time. So he's another player. He's gone out to Seoul. He can't start in Seoul team. I think he's had three games. He's now injured. And his manager is saying, you've got to run, you've got to have some effort, and you can't just walk in like a big time Charlie and have your name do it. You've got to try. I'm thinking about dropping you. So
it's not West Ham anymore, though, Sean. We don't care about him.
That's interesting because there was a double page spread on Jesse Lingard in the Mail. Was it last week or the week before? And they were saying how brilliant he was doing.
Well, not his manager. His manager has come out and absolutely blasted him and said that, it looks like it wasn't his choice, that he was bought in just to be a big name. A waste of talent, a bit like Ravel Morrison.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, if he had stayed with us that season, he went to Nottingham Forest. I mean, who knows what would have happened? Whether it would have been any good, but it couldn't have gone worse for him than it has. And I think it's a crying shame because he was brilliant for us that 6 months he was with us.
Now, before we go, let's talk about season tickets. Obviously, season ticket renewal time. Season ticket renewal time, it's gone up between 6%. In fact, my band 3 is the lowest. 6.04 is the lowest increase. I think, if I remember rightly, inflation's running at 3.4. 3.9. Is it 3.9 now? I stand corrected. The highest amount, which I think is Nigel or a band 6, is 11.4% increase. But obviously, it's a small amount of money. What the senior source would say, but hang on a minute, we were below inflation last year. We need to compete with the others and we need to obey financial fair play. You can't have, you know, cheap tickets forever. We made a real mistake pricing it so cheap when we moved to the stadium, is the admission, this senior source said. Now, if it wasn't, if, no one likes paying more for anything, and I'm going to come to each of you as season ticket holders in a minute. But on top of this, it turns out that they are phasing out, like Spurs, they are phasing out concession pricing. Already in 1966 and 1966 West, you can't buy concession discounts. That's going to happen for Band 1, Band 2, and we think Band 3 and 4. So you only can buy new concessions in 5 and 6 going forward. So that if you're over 66, under 21, or disabled, you won't be able to buy new tickets in the more expensive seats going forward, is what we've been told.
Remind me though, Sean, just quickly.
Yeah.
They are a percentage of the price of the ticket, though, and they're not all the same. They're not all the same price, are they?
No, they're not all the same price. Concessions, you get a different price. So over under 21s and over 66s are the same. Under 18s is a different price, and accessibility or disabled is another price. Now, interestingly, last season, they quietly dropped in. I don't know if you remember, we used to get a founder's discount. That was quietly dropped last season. And the over 65 was increased to over 66 with, I think, a plan to increase it to over 67. Little bit of problems about that. I know Spurs turned their backs on their game against Luton and protested. I don't know what West Ham will do. And the last one is, and I've known about this for some time, they also want to ban people from renewing that don't use their season ticket. So lots of people buy the cheap tickets and they don't go to games and they don't put them on tickets.
Hey.
And they're going to ban people who do that and not allow them to, no, not ban them, but not allow them to renew. So I'm
going to... Do you realise, Sean, they just told us what they don't want us to do, which is exactly what I'm going to do next year.
Okay, all right. So let's start with you, Len. I'm going to go to each of you because you're each season.
Go on, then.
You've got your band five.
Yeah. Good idea that was, Sean and Nige.
So
you're welcome.
So what's your view on all what I've just talked about on the season tickets?
My view is, I think it's a little bit tone deaf from them. Not that the fact... I mean, I expected to pay more. I'm not in the great... state of shock about it. But like I said, they've just because other teams do things, it doesn't mean that we need to do that. And we put ourselves in a position where we didn't have to do that. But all they want is, we told them it was a bad idea, the plus two scheme.
Yeah.
They're regretting it now.
They are.
And now they want their cake and eat it. They want the cheap... rent and of the same price tickets. Well,
but here's the thing, right? And I'm not making excuses for them.
Oh, you
Spurs
are.
Spurs make 106 million on ticket sales on ticket sales match day. Arsenal make 103.
Yeah, ours she did a century, didn't she?
Ours is around 30 million, 40 million if you include the transfer, the Europa. Sales for the last 2 years. So yeah. We're worlds apart. We're probably, if you take away Europe, they're three times better off. That
See,
makes
you're
a
making
difference.
You're arguing.
No,
like,
so that makes a difference.
You're strengthening
so,
your argument.
But actually,
no, the difference
to Nigel
was,
in a minute.
No,
Nigel
the difference
always
was,
said...
The difference was, your mate there, Baroness, said she got a deal with a century, and she didn't. That's the difference. All these other people own their stadium.
They were worried they were going to fill a 52.5.
They lack faith in the fan base.
They priced it. And here's the problem.
I'll translate.
They caused it. Like marketing, about family affordable football. How do they get out of that and charge the fans more?
Well,
they would love to charge people. By the way, the directors, the owners, take no dividend. None of the profits go to...
Irrelevant.
The
this is
no,
irrelevant.
It is relevant because all
no,
the
it isn't.
Money...
I'll tell you
is,
what's relevant.
Relevant.
I'll tell you what's relevant, Sean. Last time we discussed that 10-point plan, the affordable football was the only thing that we all agreed on.
Yeah,
now that's
right.
They want to get rid
they,
of it. They've admitted
the more
they
money we get on revenue, the more we can pay on transfers. Now, you might argue... We're wasting money on transfers. That's
we are.
Another argument. But well, revenue goes on players. It's not going in the back pockets of the owners. It's not going
in
the back
pockets. You're
not
saying it was. No, you're the Baroness. You're the only person that's mentioned that. You're the only person that's mentioned that. We haven't mentioned it
deep
at all.
Deep breath. I'm going to move to Ian. Ian, you're good. In a 1966 seat. So even
when he
when
turns
you reach,
up.
But even when you reach 67, you're not going to get a discount anyway in your posh seat, are you?
I'm a few years away from that, but one thing you just said there, Sean, which I want to pick you up on. You said the owners haven't taken dividends, which is absolutely factually correct. How much are they taking out of in interest payments?
They took 20 million out in interest payments, but let me tell you, if they'd have borrowed from a bank at the same time, maybe the bank would have taken at least 35 million. So
road.
It's saved. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I don't know where the truth gets in the way.
How much did they put in to buy the club? How much did they put in and how much did they took out? And how much are their shares worth?
They did how us a favour. They did us a favour by lending us
stop
money.
Stop this nonsense.
No.
They did do us a favour.
They did do us a favour.
It's for their own fucking property.
If they had done us a favour, they wouldn't have been charging 10% interest.
They
at
weren't
a time
charging
interest
10%
rates.
Interest.
Yes,
the most
yes,
they charged was 7.
Yes, they were.
7, Ian.
You,
7.
You said
and
on this
went...
podcast before that it was 10%.
No. They were 10% is what the banks were charging. They charged 7 at the maximum, and then they reduced it to 3. They
but
never
that,
charged
that
10%.
That was at a time when interest rates were virtually nothing.
No, but unfortunately, if you look at the rates that they will lend to football clubs, it's always been 10%, sometimes 12%. If you look at Vibrek, if you look at Mousehole, if you look at MSD, all these people, and it's on record, you can look in the accounts, they charge 10% or more. They were doing us a favour. As David
they
Gold
were doing
said,
us a favour?
David
you just
Gold,
said they fucking selling the tickets too
hang
cheap.
Hang on. David Gold himself took money out of his pension plan that he could have earned maybe 15 or 20% on to lend it to West Ham. He couldn't afford
and how
to
much
that
are those shares
point?
Worth, Sean? How much
no,
are the shares worth?
Don't get me wrong.
How much money have they made selling those shares? The gold shares have been sold. How much did the gold family get?
Well, they haven't sold
they
them
sold
yet,
shares though. To Kaczynski, Sean.
Well,
don't
they
say
did.
They didn't.
Yeah,
they did.
Right, they did.
Right. So how much did they get for the Kaczynski shares, Sean? Well, how much did the Gold family get for the Kaczynski shares?
They've done all right. They took the gamble. It's about risk and reward. They
took the gamble. See, now, they saved their shopping tactics.
They saved our club.
Now you're shopping tactics. Shut the fuck
now, you're having a Western, Sean. Now, you're fucking living on your past, mate.
Wealth creators. Look, I'm sure Ian would agree with this. Wealth creators are the people that take the risk in this economy and this country and this capitalism world. And the wealth creators who put up that money and take the risk are entitled to their rewards. Now, they're going to have to still pay.
Our
on.
Owners
they
are like Thames Walters owners.
They are
going
to still have
that's
to pay.
That's about how good they are.
They still have to pay capital gains on any gains they've made from selling those shares of 20%. And they're going to have to pay death duties as well, because not everything was in a family trust at the time. So, you know, the taxpayer will earn out of this as well. Look, they
shut
haven't...
up, anyway, you fucking idiot.
Come on, Ian.
Anyway, what was the question you asked me?
I asked
tickets
you,
going up.
1966.
Oh, tickets going up. Well, my I've got 2 season tickets. And they cost at the moment £1,250 each. And I think they're going up to £1,300. And I mean, I am at the point where I'm thinking, is this really worth it? Now, Len is right. I haven't been to that many games this season for all sorts of different reasons. But I do put the tickets on Ticket Exchange when the matches are available to do that, which most of them are.
Yeah. And do they sell?
They've sold everyone apart, was it Brentford? I think there was one recently that they didn't sell. Oh. But I think I put them on a bit later as well, so it's my fault. Do I want to go through another season doing that? I mean, part of the reason why I haven't been to as many matches is because where I normally park, I now can't for the rest of this season. Whether that will change next season, I don't know. And getting from here to the London Stadium by train is a bit of a schlep. So I am intending to go to at least 3 matches before the end of the season, but whether I renew or renew in a cheaper way. I don't know.
Sit. You can sit. You can move to Band 5 and sit up in the gods with Len and Nigel in row 66.
We show you at the Livian.
No padded seat there, Ian. No name on your seat there, mate.
Yeah, but I am kind of on the halfway line, so I like to think of it as the Royal Box.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I thought you used to give them out to your producers and your
Well, I do. I mean, if I go, I always use the other ticket and take somebody. I mean, the last match I went to, which was the Villa game, I bought another ticket, and so my two friends sat in my seats, and I then sat about six rows behind. But it's a lot of money. But on the other hand, you look at it and you look at what you'd be paying in other clubs in London, and it would probably be at least double that.
It is.
So I don't support them.
Well, there but you go then.
Our ticket prices, I would agree with the owners, are quite cheap for what they are.
Yeah.
And I do understand that if you want to grow a business, you want to maximise your income.
Yeah.
And the way to maximise your income, actually, is to cut the number of season tickets and sell them to tourists.
Yeah.
Now, there would be an outcry if they did do that, I suspect.
Well, they are doing
there's got
it.
To be... So well, to an extent, but not noticeably.
What's your view on use it or lose it policy coming in?
Well, I mean, I get pretty pissed off when I see all the empty seats. So I don't know why people wouldn't use ticket exchange.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, there is this people, and look, we're coming on to Nigel next, because he's one of these people going, he doesn't want to put them. He goes, it's my seat. I pay for it. I'll do what I bloody
well
want.
He's going to tell you why don't put it on ticket exchange.
All right, let's move on to Nigel there. Go on, Nigel. What's your view on all the different changes, the rises, the concession issues, and the use it or lose it?
All right, so first off, let's look at if we're gonna compare it, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like finger pointing, but let's finger point over to what the Bayern Munich chairman said. He said we could charge more. Let's say, you know, we could charge like an extra £200 more. But to do that, we'd get £2 million more income. But in the transfer discussion, you argue about that some for 5 minutes. But 200 quid for a fan is huge. We don't think that the fans are like cash cows who you milk. Mm-hmm. Football has to be for everybody. And that is the biggest difference between us and England.
Yeah.
So,
but is it a level playing field?
If you look, Sean, hold up,
Germany.
Right? So, top clubs in Germany are charging €15, for tickets to games. So, €15. What do you mean? Oh, come on!
Why are they full?
If they can do it and have a, I watch Bundesliga every week.
But Bundesliga is not the best league in the world, is it?
Right. Hold up, Sean. Right, this is the thing. Who asked
fans
me, did I want to watch the best league in the world? Who come up and said to the fans, do you know what? You can watch the best league in the world, but you're going to have to pay 4, 5, 6 times more money. Nobody asked the fans. Yeah? Who asked the fans? No one, Sean. No. These owners have turned up, pumped
not
all their
money. Not just our owners, owners.
We've got a more uncompetitive league now than we've ever had. Because it's the same
bollocks.
Teams at the top.
Absolute bollocks. You look
it
at
ain't
you look
bollocks.
At, you look, well, you look at this season and it's the most competitive top six that there ever... Yeah, they are the same clubs. I'll give you that.
Right, so it's uncompetitive.
Look at it,
it's the same
you look
people.
At it down you look at it down the pyramid. Championship sides are getting 20,000-30,000 regularly. Attendances are at the highest ever level. And yet you think that supporters are being exploited. They don't have to go. They choose to go because they like the product.
But this is it. If they're going to choose to go and you're going to go, people going to go back on their promises and you don't care what you get in, then the phrase, be careful
what
you
mean,
wish
what,
for,
what
has
mean,
never been more apt.
Care.
Point it to them. Because once apathy sets in, and I could tell you now, I'll pay £20 for my ticket. That's all it's fucking worth.
We all have our limits as to what we'll pay.
Well, mine's lower.
In the
it's got nothing to do with financially.
In my old business in publishing, there are sort of price brackets for books, and if you overprice a book, don't be surprised if people don't buy it. It's the same in football tickets. If you overprice them, people won't go, and that's the balance right. that each
club I do in art. I do different. I do in art. The only people who love the art, the only people who buy art are people who love it, and that's the same with a football club. People go and they put their hand in it because they love the club. It doesn't mean to say you've got to exploit them.
No,
and that's what it comes down to.
My point is, what does the club get out of right this price rise?
2.5 mil
On top of, right.
2.5 million.
But what do they buy for that 2.5 mil, Sean?
Not a lot. But
how much does the women's football team cost?
Three weeks of Calvin Phillips, apparently.
How much does the women's football team cost?
It costs around about that to run, yeah.
Right, nobody asked me if I wanted a women's football team.
No, you're right.
Cut that then.
And it's all about the brand and everything else. But you know what? If people are prepared to pay it, a premium product, right? You know, and it's the same, right? If you go into a supermarket, you got your value brand, you've got your premium brand, and
Sean,
you've got your finest
fuck off
brand.
Now.
And the
right?
people
because
who
this ain't
buy
a supermarket,
finest,
Sean. This is not a supermarket. We are not customers.
It's reassuringly
you're not
going to
let you spout
and
this shite
no, it's not.
Constantly.
It's capitalism.
It is shite, Sean.
No, it's not.
It is shite.
It's not a working
football
club.
Is not a capitalist.
Not a working
football
class.
Is not
it's
a capitalist system. We are not customers.
Right.
Sean,
the people
we are supporters of
the
football club, and they trade off on our utter nonsense of loyalty to the football
the
club.
Who sit
yeah.
in
yeah, I'm going to do your tactic, Sean. I'll keep fucking talking over you till you shut up. Yeah, your tactic that you do every week. I'll fight you with it now.
Right, Ian. Why did you buy a 1966 seat?
Oh,
was it reassuringly expensive.
Thank you, Sean.
That was chewy.
Because I wanted to try and replicate my seat at Upton Park, but that was not possible because it was on the other side of the stadium to the one that I wanted to be on. And I probably let myself get talked into it, if I'm honest.
Have you tried any other areas in the stadium?
No. Well, actually, that's
see,
not
here's
quite
a funny
true.
Thing is because Ian got booted out of the West Side to make way for the corporates. Yeah, because where Ian sat at Upton Park was by the tunnel on the lower of the West End, if I'm not mistaken, Ian.
So,
yeah?
Where'd you sit now? Yeah. The other side? On the Billy Bond side?
But yeah, because he weren't allowed to sit there because that got reserved for the corporates that were paying £2,000 for the bowling bar people
hang
and
on,
all that.
There is a 1966
so,
question
when
now.
when we moved, they turfed out a load of people that they didn't get their equivalent seats offered to them because all those general fans that everybody was along that lower West Stand, nobody was corporate along there apart from the boxes that were behind them.
Well,
so
they,
if you sat
did.
Next to the tunnel, if you sat around the tunnel, you could be, yeah, you paid a premium for that seat. Yeah, that was a band, the highest band of ticket, band one season ticket. But you were still regular fans around the tunnel. All
yeah,
got
and
turfed
I liked,
out.
I liked sitting there because I quite liked watching the manager. I quite liked watching the substitutes warming up.
Yeah.
I can't see any of that from where I am now. I never know who's coming on. Because you obviously can't see from that distance. They did offer, they said you could have the first two rows there, but I thought, well, that's going to be a shit view. So I thought, well, I'm not doing that. And it was because I thought, well, I want to be on the side of the stadium where I can get away quickly. It ruled it out anyway. So then they said, well, we've got these 1966 seats. You can have the front row, which I've got, almost on the halfway line. And it's a fantastic place to sit.
Padded?
It really is.
Is it padded?
I don't really care about
it. It's a nice
padded,
seat. I've sat in it.
How have you?
I may be 61, but I'm not into my padded stuff yet.
Is it heated? Has it got a little heating
it's
and
not
a charger
heated,
in
it's
it?
It's not though. Heated. There's no charger.
It's got your little name.
No,
it's got a name
no
on it, though, hasn't it? It says Ian.
Yeah, but that's on paper. It can be easily pulled out.
it isn't actually. I think it's a little plastic thing. So I've got one. I've got one, and I've got one in my mother's name as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Ian's a victim straight away of the move. As a lot of people are. But this is the thing: the club is now coming. You were, because you couldn't sit. You couldn't sit in your equivalent seat at Upton Park, London Stadium. You had to be moved.
I'd come to terms with that, and I was.
But originally,
you and I've always disagreed on this. I recognise that the club had to move on, and I do think it's been a successful move.
Absolutely.
I don't think that we were promised European football. What was it? Yeah. Within five years or something. Well, we got it within six.
Next level. No,
we weren't promised. Next level.
This is next level.
Yeah.
This is next level, Sean.
This is next level. This is not next level from anything I've ever experienced.
That's rubbish, Ian. And I'll tell you why. Because no league position we've achieved in that stadium, we'd already achieved that at Upton Park. Win a European trophy at Upton Park? Yes, we did. The European trophy we won, we could have won at Upton Park because we could have qualified because we had finished seventh and above at Upton Park. So actually, we could have finished seventh at Upton Park and therefore qualified for the Conference League.
We won that trophy.
Therefore, that proves my point. So the European win is not next level. Next level for West Ham is actually competing in the top four. That is next level for
West Ham. I think you're redefining it to suit your argument.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not redefining it. That is it. Oh. At Upton Park, we finished between 6 and 10. Well, actually, our eyes position was third. But generally, quite a few times, we'd finish top 10, 7th, 8th, 9th, 6th, 7th. We had those finishes. A fifth under Harry Redknapp. So that's the level West Ham was dealing in. So what is the next level? Well, when they walked into the club and said next level, the next level for West Ham was to compete in the top four because we are already a second-tier team. We want to join the top-tier team.
There is an element of truth in that, but also next level it means consistent European football. And we've had that for 3 years running, which we never had before, ever, at Upton Park.
Yeah.
No, we had 2 years running, though.
Yeah, but we didn't have three. We didn't have three.
We didn't have this competition to get in that we could have won to get the third season.
Let's agree to disagree because we're never going to see eye to eye on this.
No, but in regards to ticket price rising, as I said, it's typical of the club or whatever. You're talking over me again, Sean. You're really fucking winding me up tonight.
Good.
I mean it. Yeah?
Good.
I'm going to ring up my South African trophy hunter and see if he can bag himself another fucking rhino.
I did say to Sean before we started that I felt I was going to have to play Kofi Annan at some point tonight, and I think we've reached that point.
Yeah, of course we have. Of course we have. We always do.
We always get to that point.
So, Nigel, the use it or lose it. I know this is something you felt strongly about in the past.
Yeah, of course it is, because I've got two season tickets like Ian, but one of them is for my son-in-law. Who work shifts. And the problem that the club have got, specifically as well, made worse, and why Ian don't get to a lot of games, is with European football comes the movement of match day games, which is dictated by TV. TV dominates. But let's remember, how many games have we actually played in Europe this season to have them move to a Sunday? But all the other games are moved because of TV as well.
Like the video you did earlier, though, that video I showed 1994.
You.
I agree. Whoever did that was spot on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fans are there as background.
That's it.
Noise. I know that. I've said that for years. They
sums
are.
It sums it up.
It does.
But then what the club have got to do, and this is the thing, Sean. Who did they discuss about the price rises with?
Well, they discussed it with the ISC.
Did they, Sean?
Yes, they did.
I think what you've I think
all right,
what
sorry,
you
they
find
did
is
discuss it. They told them a
it
week
was a
before.
Fait accompli.
Yeah, of course it was.
A couple of hours or a couple of days beforehand.
I think a few days.
Is what we're doing.
Yeah,
there's no discussion.
Yeah, there wasn't. See, but there's never going to be a discussion, right? I don't think you go, do you think we should put up prices? Because I think that's exactly what you do when you've got the supporters advisory board.
There.
You've been in this position, right? And you just get.
I know, and I've told them that they're wrong every time that they do it.
And I'm sure the ones in the seats told them they were wrong this time. Well, they have done. We know that. No one likes price rises. You know? We don't.
But how many times, though, Sean, in the past few years have we had price rises?
Well, there was obviously...
It's price-wise.
So you're right. So
2 years ago...
up to 20% in the last 2 years, you're right.
Two years ago, I was paying 320. Yeah. Now, it's 380.
Yeah, so you've paid 20%. Yeah, you're right, over 20%.
So now what happens then is, yes, it's still cheap, and it's cheaper than I paid at Upton Park, but that's because I made the point to move to give them the least amount of money possible. But what's happening here is there was also an acknowledgement by the club about the mistakes they made.
Yeah.
But they've not come out and publicly said it, have they?
No.
And
this is
the reason we're in this mess is because of the way they sold the tickets in that sales centre in the first place.
Agreed.
We're in this mess because of
them. Well, they have let it be known.
But who's paying, Sean? The fans are paying. Not them. They're not putting their fucking money in their pocket. He's not pulling out the 2 million. He could pull 2 million quid out and say, I tell you what, I'll pay the season ticket price rises this season. No. And when he'll sell the club, he would have watched every game for nothing. He would have watched every game for nothing. When he gets his money out, nothing. That's what he would have paid. Where every other fan... And this is the thing. Owners put in now, he's not bankrolling the football club like a lot of the lower league chairmen do.
No,
they've paid in the bare minimum and they've took money out. And when they sell, they'll sell more shares. And when they sell the next tranche of shares, they'd have got all their money back and they'll still be sitting on 100 million quid each.
And that is what businessmen do. And it would be... disingenuous to say that most people who enter it are doing it for the money now. The Yanks that come in...
But he never, Sean, did he? Because he did it for the love of the club.
Well, yeah.
But... Yeah, I rest my case.
Yeah, well, you know that.
Yeah.
There was a risk,
Thank
though.
You.
There was a risk. Yeah. You've got to admit, there was a risk, right?
There was a risk, yeah.
And they did put their hands in their pockets when we were relegated,
They were so desperate to buy the club, Sean, they bought 50% of it.
Yeah. Anywho... Yeah. Anywho, that's all we have for this episode. We're going to come for question time. I don't know whether Len or Ian are staying for that, but we'll find out in a minute. We'll do predictions. We'll start with you, Ian. Spursy, Tuesday night, tomorrow night.
2-0 to us.
Ooh. Nigel.
No, we'll concede. I'll go 3-2 us.
Okay. Len?
I always find this difficult to predict this match. Often it goes against form, but I think we're in form. Even though like the win, lose or draw column don't say so. I think in my ding dong I'm going 2-2.
Okay, Desmond 2-2. I'll go for a 1-0 win, obviously. That's all we have time for episode 45. I've been Sean. Ian has been...
Trying to remain calm at all times.
Nigel has been...
Fucking interrupted, I'd say.
Yeah, time and time again, as per usual.
And Len has been...
Still a bit poorly.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.